हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो भागवत संदर्भ नो भक्ति संदर्भ अध्याय वन आदिकाण्ड फोर। भक्ति इज सुपीरियर टू ऑल ऑफ द सिद्धांत। सो वी सॉ वी वेंट थ्रू द आदिकाण्ड समरी यू नो विथ द पंचांग न्याय। सो अनदर aspect to mention about this is that the five angas, these are the elements that you'll use, but when you discuss it, you're going to apply them as it works with the person you're talking with, right? As we mentioned, if you're just writing, you just write it with those five, and then if you want, then you put in yourself the doubts or the arguments that are there, like you see in some of Prabhupada's, through the Prabhupada's purports, or sometimes in the Acharyas, the Goswamis, they will do that. They'll now and again, in their description, after they've mentioned it and given their reasoning, then they'll bring up the doubt, and then they'll write. But otherwise, if not, you see, they just write straight and give it the straight presentation. So you just go through those five very nicely. But when you're actually directly discussing with the person, then you're going to see, depending upon how much their doubt is a problem, as soon as you say your thesis, they may already have a problem. Generally not, but generally it'll be after you give your reasoning. But even if you, even not, they'll just start then. So then they're going to give their point. I mean, if they're doing it properly, we're not talking about today's modern, how you say, this the I say those who have problems, but they only know how to waffle, but at the same time they can't cook. So yeah, it's a problem. So this then idea is that you're, when they present theirs, then you're wherever you left off, then you're going to give your reasoning, and then if they caught it, okay. If not, then you'll start to give examples and this and that. If they don't catch it, they'll come up with more doubts, and it'll go back and forth until you cleared the doubts. So this back and forth between the Shamshaya, their doubts, Shamshaya, the Purvapaksha, and your Uttara can go back and forth however many points and discussions they have. So we see sometimes you discuss this, someone, it goes on for hours, you know, and then at the end, yeah, well, that's another thing. I do remember one devotee was years on a point, but it wasn't years straight. We weren't like something out of the Mahabharata for 3 years straight. They sat and discussed and argued. No, it was basically whenever we had class days, you know, over 3 years, you know, whenever they could bring it up, you know. So then, yeah, then finally it was they caught what we were saying, but it took 3 years. So that's going to go back and forth. And then when that's finished, then your final uttara that you're going to give, then you're going to, you know, whatever they've said, you bite it, and you'll do also that the synthesis, the udaharana, I mean, not udaharana, upanaya. You'll bring it near, and then you give your siddhanta, you know, or the siddhanta will have that. So between your last things, then you'll end the adhikarana. So like that, it'll work. So it's just a matter of you have these five elements that you're working with, that you're making your point, you're giving your reasons for your point, you're trying to bring it so that the person understands it by giving examples of something they can relate to. In other words, trying to find some samskara that's common that they can appreciate, you know. And then once you've done that, then because that's close to what they do and they understand your example, like the example worked, then this point works. You know, that's the main point you're saying. You know, you're trying to give that connection. Then you're going to, again, then make your statement, your opening statement. But it can be either exactly just the way it was because you made the point, or you can also, depending on that, what the person is there or how nicely it's been able to be developed, then you can also give some more like practical or self, take it further. The Siddhanta, that is, he is that, therefore only he should be worshipped, only this and that. Otherwise, it can be just exactly the same wording. It doesn't matter. It just depends upon how it goes. Right, so in an art discussion, then you have to see, because taking it further can also start up more discussion. But if you're writing it, then you can do it how you like. Okay, so that means we understand. So one is the application in a debate, you know, in Vada. And the other is the elements that you're going to use. You're always going to work in those five like that. So, yeah. Okay, so Anucheda 95. The greatest result of Varnashrama conduct prescribed in scriptures is bhakti, right? So that if you can, by your Varnashrama activities, bring it to bhakti, then the performance of the Varnashrama activities then or useful. So that means they're always going to be pious and they're always going to be human. But the point is that human life is meant to realize one's relationship with the absolute personality of Godhead and devotion. In other words, it's bhakti. Therefore, when you engage them in the service of bhakti, then like iron and fire, they take on that element and then they bring you there. It's not that the Varnashram will bring you there. It's performing Varnashram to please the Lord, that then through that use will get you there. You know, it's just like working with potatoes all day won't get you bhakti, but working with potatoes that you're trying to prepare them and cook something nice for Krishna will. So it's not the potatoes. It's the bhakti itself. So interacting with bhakti gives you bhakti. But you need a medium because you're a person. You're an individual. You know, you have your identity. So these things are there. So you have to work within that. As a person, you have to work with some element of identity. But it's just a matter of, is identity first, is individuality first, then identity, or is identity first, then individuality? Right? Because only real individuality only comes in devotional service. Right? So when you see everything in connection with devotional service, then whatever you use then becomes like dovetailed, as Prabhupada says. That's the meaning. Dovetailed means it's being used in the Lord's service. And so that's what's there. So you always have to use something. You're always going to have a field of activities. You always have what your relationship is with that field of activities. What are the potential that can be gotten done, you know, achieved by that field of activities? And what are the proper activities and qualifications for performing those activities in that field to get those activities? So all that has to be there. You can't separate one from, you can separate to analyze, but in application, they all go together. It's just where you are at the time. You know, it's just like when you're cooking, it's all one thing. But at one point, you may be focusing on the chants. Another time you're on, you know, stirring it or getting it to, you know, fry a little bit, get some color on it. At another point, you may be adding various different kinds of spicing and other elements and that. Another time you're looking more at the sauce and all that, how it's going and that. And then at the end, then you're going to, you know, whatever's the final things and you're garnishing and everything like that. So it's going to go on, but it's all part of one thing. But it's not that when you're, let's say, near the end, when you're putting in your final different ingredients, it's not that you're not aware of the sauce or, you know, if the salt was enough or things like that. Because if you check it and the salt, then you have to put, you have to do, or you get there and you thought, oh, I'm going to put this much, and you put, it's not enough, so you put more. You know, so it's always dynamic. It's just which one is emphasized. That's all. They go together. Just like you have your whole body, you're eating like that. It's about food being chewed in your mouth. But what's putting the food in your mouth? Your arms, your hands, right? Where is that going? Into the stomach. And then how are you there that you're able to eat? Because you're sitting, right? Yeah, and your feet are somewhere in that. It's not your feet are sticking out on the plate, and so you have to always move your foot aside to get something to eat and then put your foot back in that. No. So all the parts of the body are involved in the eating process, just some are more dynamic and some are more passive. So in the same way, all these things, when they're working, they're always functioning on this kind of capacity. Whenever you're dealing with any of these, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, they're all functioning. It's just a matter of which one's prominent. We're trying to analyze and understand it, so the Sambandha Jnana is prominent. Or we're trying to apply it, so therefore the Abhideya's, the Vasudeva aspect is prominent. So, but in the Sambandha Jnana, sometimes we're describing the field and the relationships and all that. Sometimes we're describing how you would apply it. And sometimes we're describing what goal you can get from it. But in any case, it's all the same thing, because at any point, a field is studied because it can give you a particular result. That's all. You get rid of that. You get rid of that. You change the field, you change what you can get. Right? I'm in a supermarket. I can get, fruits and vegetables and grains and other things like that. I go to the hardware store, I can get a hammer, I can get nails, I can get, brooms like this. So the field defines what you can gain, and you have to know where it is. Okay, you want this, that's over in this part, then how you can you carry it? Can you put that into your car? Like that. So you have to be able to see what it is and how it relates. So they all go together, but when you analyze it separately, and then you apply it. That's why we have Prabhupada and the Acharyas and Krishna talking about, the armchair speculators or the scholars, where they've studied and these points and all that, and they know these points and they've all these things, but they can't apply it. It's like that story of the boatman and the scholar. He has all this knowledge, but with that, he can't save his life. He can't do anything practical. Right? So that's the point, is that the first stage is that you've shravana, you've heard, but manana is the second, where you have to try to apply it and analyze it. That process of applying and analyzing. So therefore, the manana includes the seva, right? And that manana will then turn into, with time, realization, from jnana to vijnana. So now your seva is based on you want to do that. Well, before, as you should do it, or you have to do it, or you're dutiful, so yes, I have a sense of duty, so I'm doing. But the point is you're analyzing it and applying it. Otherwise, you see, people are doing their service and not analyzing Krishna consciousness in context of that. Others are analyzing devotional service and not applying it. That's why then the scholars think they're superior because they have the knowledge, and the other devotees is kind of like, well, I can get practical. I can actually, if something happened, I would not starve to death, while we're not actually confident about this scholar starving to death or not. Because they can't necessarily function in the world, right? They have their university, or they have their particular place. They walk in, all the things are just exactly the way they want. It's their thing. They do, they sit there and that. And the bigger they get in the field, the more it has to be separate. Your PhDs, they have to have their own place, their own desk on that. Well, you see, like if you're working with grade school teachers, they may have a common room all the teachers hang out in. You may have a little place to keep your stuff, and you're good, because you'd rather hang out with the other teachers and that than you have to sit there and, establish yourself that you are a, what do you call it? An intellectual, right? The grade school teacher does not have to publish or perish. They're going on anyway. There's kids, and so they're okay. But the other guys, if they're not publishing, they will perish, because no one actually has to go to their university, right? And that. So, but the, here is these kids, and who's going to take care of them? So they have us the practical. So then this element is that one has to appreciate that even though there's philosophy, it will be applied in our life through religion. Because religion means the inherent nature of things. What's my nature? What's my, what are my values and goals? What's the field? What are the possibilities you can do? What are the relationships and laws that are governing that field? all that, that will be, that's religion. That's why it said you have to have both. You know, if you don't know the philosophy, but you have religion, then your dealings will be sentimental or fanatic. If you have the philosophy but no religion, it'll be speculative because you don't know how to apply it. You could say, oh, but we could do this. Oh, this is possible. Mathematically, yes. In reality, no. I mean, we could take the potatoes in the pot, throw them up till they, you know, if we cook them enough, we throw them up, they will stick to the ceiling. But then they'll be getting from the heat of the fire, you know, that little bit of roasting on that one side, but then what's sticking to the ceiling, because it's not connected to the heat, you know, it'll still stay soft and all that. So then, and then I could get a ladder, go up there and scrape them all off back into my pan. And then, you know, I could plate them and stuff like that. It's theoretical. I could do that, but you don't see anyone in the world doing that. No chef, no cook, nobody. But sitting in your armchair, yes, it's possible. You know, very elevated potatoes, you know, stuck to the ceiling potatoes, you know, and if you, like we said, if you say it in French, it'll probably sound really good, you know, like that. Yeah. I'm thinking that would be a Monty Python skit, right? So that's the point, is that if it's not applied, it's nice, but it'll only be of value and use to those who can apply it. Someone who understands the philosophy and understands how to apply it, so means of the science, they can get the benefit. Someone who only knows the art can't connect it because it's just theory. And the person who's theoretical can't apply it because there's no art. So only the person who knows science can get anywhere. But unfortunately, the theoreticians will always consider themselves superior, right? And then those who are practical, the artists, you know, we don't do all, you know, waste our time, they'll consider themselves more practical and superior. Means it, socially, they'll, okay, he's the scholar, but in reality, we're the ones that are eating and have clothes on our back and everything like that. While him, it's like, you know, if the school shut down for a few weeks or something, and there are riots and he couldn't get to school, you don't know. Would he be able to have a cup of coffee? Because at home he doesn't have it. At school he gets his coffee, you know, and there's that place next to there, and he gets the students to do this. He might not be able to do anything, you know. And we're technically not exaggerating. You ever worked with them? There are a few that are practical like that, but generally that's as an individual, they're like that. But otherwise, as the scholars, nope. Not happening. Yeah. So that's why it said you have to protect Brahmins, because otherwise they're, you know, that the theoretical, then that's that, now you just have to get them to be practical. How will that come? By association with the Vaishnavas. You know, so they have a good field, right? You know, and the common person, because they only know art, they have to be protected by the king. Right. So then what stands out is that the Vaishnavas are the unique one. They're the outstanding one, not anyone else. You know, that's the thing. Okay. So then, just quoting from, let's see, what do we have? Srimad Bhagavatam here. Dhanavrata tapo homa, japa swadhyaya, samyamai, shreyobhir vividhais chanyai, Krishna bhaktir hi sadhyate. Devotional quote, I mean, devotional service unto Krishna is to be attained by charity, strict vows, austerities, fire sacrifices, japa, study of Vedic texts, controlling the senses by the performance of many other auspicious practices. Right? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-24. You could say, oh, well, that's, you know, something early in that, you know, the lower cantos, you know, first, second canto. No, this is 10th canto, 47th chapter. You know, so right in the middle. So the point is that this is how you attain, because you express the devotional service through something. I have devotion to Krishna. How do I express it? Right? You know, you appreciate someone. So you express it through saying some words or from a gift or some considerations. That's how it works. Right? There's something that's there. Otherwise, if you just say, you know, like the politicians, they just say, oh, yes, you know, the people are so important, you know, like that. But they do nothing. other than speak and then go around and speak this to more people. So they think they're doing something. They're going around and speaking to this group, then that group, then that group. In their mind, they're doing something solid, because what are they doing? They're establishing their political position. They're not doing something for the public, you know, unless it really needs something, then they'll do something, some little something, you know, and then, you know, try to fluff it up as big as possible. But the point is they're doing that. Their point is get in office, stay in office. That's their point. So for them, they're working for that. But for the people, no, they're just talking. That's how they're famous for that. Everyone knows. That's why there's a difference between leadership or statesmanship and that, and a politician, you know, and a bureaucrat. Everyone knows bureaucrats, politicians. I mean, politicians talk, do nothing. Bureaucrats could do something, but they don't talk. You know, and only if you please them, then you might get something. But even then, they can also step back and not do anything and just take advantage of their position. Right? So politicians have to be controlled by statesmen. That's the whole thing, by those who actually lead the country. So that's what the Kshatriyas are for. Kshatriyas had to control politicians, and they have to control the bureaucrats. Otherwise, nothing will happen. So here is that. You have to do something to express whatever it is. So you have a feeling, you have a mood, you have something. There has to be some way, some situation, some activity that it can be expressed through. So here it's mentioned then, and we have to remember this is being quoted by Jiva Goswami. So him being the greatest scholar, it's not that he may have, it's okay, but, you know, he could have used this one, you know. No, he's not. Yeah, like that. Devotional service under Krishna is to be attained by charity, strict vows, austerities, fire sacrifices. Yeah. Japa, study of Vedic texts, controlling the senses by the performance of many other auspicious practices. 10:47:24. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Devotion to Krishna is produced by various processes, sadhana, such as giving. Right. So these are your sadhanas where you practice devotion. So we're not practicing the ritual. I mean, we become better at it. Why? Because we want to do it nicely for Krishna. What we're practicing is devotion. We're expressing the devotion. So we're cleaning the temple. It's sadhana as part of the deity worship, right? You know, and the swadhyaya, then taking care of the temple and cleaning and abhigamana and all these different things are all there. So we're trying to sweep the temple. We're trying to please Krishna. So we want to do something. So we sweep the temple. Now, because we're doing it to Krishna, we'll also try to increase the quality of our sweeping. So if you see that someone is sweeping today at one level, it's okay, but not that great. And he's just new. You might point out a few things, but whatever, you know, he'll improve. But now if after some time, he's still not any better or worse, then he's not applying it. There's no manana. He's just doing it ritualistically, though, because it is service for Krishna under authority. He will get benefit, but not as much as if he was applying it in his mind that he wants to do this devotionally. Right? So there's always, so that's sadhana. So these practices. So right now, for most devotees, sadhana means what happens in the temple. Basically, you know, if we're being very generous, then from before Mangalarti, getting up, taking their bath, going to the temple, then the Mangalarti morning program up to Prashad, and all that will be seen as sadhana. But once they leave the temple or they go on to other activities, they don't see it as sadhana. Right? They don't see it as an activity. Maybe they're in temple devotees, so they're doing some organization there or some preaching or some Harinam or book distribution, but still it's sadhana because, sadhana means practice. So when you're doing those things in pure love for Krishna, then it's not sadhana anymore. You know, or at least you're on the platform of pure devotional service. Right? Maybe not prema, but at least pure devotion. Then you can say it's not sadhana because it'll go into rag. You know, so basically if you're in a conditioned state, it'll be called sadhana. When you've gone beyond your transcendental, you know, or at least spiritual, then you can say it's not as much sadhana, though technically it is, because though you don't hear it very often, bhava bhakti, because we'll call it, you know, that, well, it's also called bhava sadhana, because it's still a practice. You're still, until you get prema, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out, until you get to prema, then you haven't actually attained the position you're trying to get to. Like that. And then that position is to always be able to render service, express pure, unalloyed devotional service or prema through your activities. So you're always going to be doing activities, right? Mandir Jashoda's arranging things in the house or cooking for Krishna and seeing to his bathing and dressing and, during the day, new ornaments, new clothes, cooking special things for him, arranging his lunch, all that. She's doing things to express her bhakti, her love, her rati. So that's the whole point, is we're here. So we wouldn't do, because there's this idea that, it's bhakti, it's just from the heart. We don't need to express it and everything. This is what those who actually don't understand the process, because that's actually impersonalism, because it's me and Brahman, and I am Brahman, you are Brahman, we are all Brahman, and so there's nothing to do. Though you see that these Maya bodies, they say they're always busy doing something because they can't follow the philosophy, because it's not real, it's an ideology. So only Vaishnavism is not an ideology. Everything else is an ideology. I'll go to the heavenly planets, I'll be happy there. It may have some more Vedic elements to it, so it works better, and you can the culture, the common culture is congruous between everybody in the culture, acquaintance level, or a practical level that you have to work with the guy or you met him on the street. When you get to personal, then you may have differences because your goals are different. But in any case, the whole point is that it's expressed through something. So there shouldn't be any doubt as well, what is, but charity is, no, charity is to be attained by. That's why you say, by Varnashram, you get this, but it's through using it. It's just like through the blender, you get something blended. But it's by cooking that you got something blended, because without the blender, you could also get it like that. You could smush it up. You could, you have other utensils. But the point is the cooking is causing that. If there's no cooking, there will not be anything in the blender. It's not that the blender is cranking out blended things all day. And, you go by just every now and again, you happen to walk in the kitchen to get some water or something like that. And then you go, hey, it's blending up this now, anyone interested? Oh yeah, I've been waiting all day for that. Then they run in and all this and that, because the blender is the cause of all this. No, you're cooking. Therefore, the blender is doing it. But we make the mistake because we think I'm the doer. Therefore, the blender is the doer. But when we understand I am a servant, we understand the blender is a servant. That's the thing. Without the bigger thing, it has no meaning. So that's the problem. People get so, just absorbed in their own little position where they are and think everything surrounds them. So that's where the problem is. No, it surrounds Krishna. So which ring are we in serving Krishna? That's the thing. Not that we're the center and then, Krishna can orbit around that when we like, when we're interested. When not, we're not so worried. Right? So devotion is produced by various processes. So that means you're applying the devotion there and you see it manifest through, like Brahma. He follows the blueprint of the primary creation, and then you see the manifestation here that we call, the 14 planetary systems and all the 8,400,000 species. But he's basing it on the primary creation and the laws and spiritual, material and spiritual laws given in the primary creation by Krishna. Then he's applying it like that. So in the same way is that he's not independent. So you can say it manifests or is produced, but it's only that you can see it. It's just like childness and childhood exist eternally. Now someone has a child, now you see that childness there and that childhood manifest. So you can say is through them having a child, then these are manifest, but they're already eternal principles that are there. So it means it's connection with you. You're seeing it. You're being able to interact with it is there. It's the medium. So that's the whole point, is you're getting something because of the medium. Right? So the problem where now, you know, they say the media is the message. No, the message is the message. The media is one way to use to deliver the message. That's the problem nowadays. The media thinks they are the supreme. They establish, they control like that. No, they're not the twilight zone. So they don't control the horizontal or the vertical. They're just business people, just find a way to make a thing and feel that they're superior about it because they throw their opinion in there. You know, so all it is yeah. You call that where someone feels themselves very self-important businessmen, you know, because of their, you know, so-called, you know, facts and figures. Okay. In the case of bhakti, giving dana must refer to giving to Vaishnavas, right? The others are just pious or a natural thing that you do. But it has to be in that context of that. Even you see in Govardhan Puja where it's recommending you're feeding the cows and the dogs and, you know, whatever living entities are around that you could feed, you know, depending on where you are, you might have a whole bunch of squirrels or other birds, but you're feeding it from the under the authority of Krishna and the Vaishnavas, that it's prasad and they will get the devotional benefit. But if you're just feeding people because, oh, if we do that and then the charity, then people respect us for the charity, and then because they respect us, then we'll be in good, and then I can walk into a meeting of, you know, all these people and I can hold my head high because they'll go, yes, here, he gives in charity, he's a fabulous guy and all that and all that, and nothing to do with devotion. That was why the, you know, a particular Maharaj then was saying, you know, food for death, because it's just going to keep him in the cycle of some, they don't know it's devotional service. No one knows. And it might not even be offered. If it's offered, okay, they will get, but it's a jata sukrita. But if it was Hare Krishna's giving him, they know it's prasad. They know it's that. They're going to make more advancement. That's the whole point. You know, so one wants to see that it has to be in the context of the Vaishnavas or serving the Vaishnavas. So in other words, you're giving to Vaishnavas or under the, in as service to Vaishnavas, then their order, serving their order, you're distributing, and then the preaching aspect and engaging others. Right? Vrata must refer to Vaishnav vratas, like Ekadasi, not other vratas, like a, but it's a Hiranyakashipu, you know, standing in Talasan, where you stand on your toes and put your hands up in the air like this, you know, so you could get Lord Brahma's attention. No, that's austerity just for his own benefit, right? So it has to be what's recommended, you know, in the Vaishnava tradition. Tapa must refer to giving up objects of enjoyment for Krishna's sake, right? Krishan, I don't know because I can't tell if it's, but whatever, Krishan Rita Boga Chagari. Oh. I was just about to read the next bit. It says, see Nectar of Devotion Angas in what the Sanskrit pronunciation. That's interesting. Say, nay, ne, ka, tar, oaf, or ope, it would be actually, but yeah, maybe a ph, oaf, de, vo, si, on, gas. Probably sounds more like German now, right? Okay. So Homa refers to Vaishnav Homas and Japa refers to chanting Vishnu mantras, right? So Vaishnav Homas means what's for Vishnu, not for demigods. And that Japa refers to what's Vishnu mantras, not to, you know, demigods and that. Swadhyaya refers to recitation of the Gopal Tapati Upanishad and other texts concerning Krishna. Right. So that means that's study. So studying, other things unless there's some director way to engage. In other words, you have some service in that it requires a certain knowledge. So you might be reading the manual on how the refrigerator works so you can set the dials and get it plugged in and all things like that. You know, it's just like, what is it? One techie, you know, working at tech support at some company, that he got fired for this, you know, but it's really, really funny. Some lady calls up and says, my computer doesn't work. So then he says, okay, did you try pushing, you know, this button, you know, and that, or try that, or, you know, redo this and repush that button, and none of it was working. Then he said, out the back of the computer, there's a black cable. Says, okay, you know, follow the cable. What's at the end? Oh, there's, it looks like a plug. Where is the plug? Oh, it's in my hand. He said, oh, this is very, very serious. You should bring that computer back to our company. We'll give you a full refund. It's like, it's not going to work. Because he could understand it. She can't even plug it in. She shouldn't have a computer. So, you know, at least in the practical community, this is a very funny story. But yes, he did get fired because, you know, the company is a business thing, not an intellectual concern. So, therefore, you might have to read things to practically make things work, but you don't read things looking for Krishna there and then think how we're going to then, you know, somehow or another shoehorn or our sledgehammer or crowbar it into devotional service when, no, it doesn't work. In other words, you can't start with an ideology, read these things and say, now it's going to be devotional service. You have to start with devotional service and that, and then where there's some practical element you need to know, then okay, then you read up on that. Other auspicious practices refer to those actions which are angas of bhakti, producing bhakti, right? So the angas of bhakti produce bhakti, because through hearing about Krishna, you get devotion. By chanting about Krishna, you get devotion. By remembering Krishna, you get, because the memory is the mind. The chanting is the tongue. The hearing is the ear. So you can see it, all these things are using a medium. But those mediums, because it connected the bhakti, because of the chit potency, it works. Like the toast we said, the toaster, you plug it in with electricity, it toasts your toast. In other words, electricity toasted your toast. The medium for that is the toaster. It's able to use apply electricity so your bread gets toast. While, let's say, your blender applies electricity to blend it. So don't put your bread in the blender if you want toast, and don't, you know, put your mashed potatoes into the toaster if you want, you know, mushy, blended, processed potatoes, right? Even though they're both electricity, right? That is because other practices, such as dana, tapa, etc., in themselves are incapable of producing bhakti. So that's the point. They can't. Doesn't matter. You can say, oh, but we'll bring people to the mode of goodness. I guarantee you the person saying that doesn't even know what the mode of goodness is. They can't identify it. They just think, oh, it's not. In other words, okay, New Age is like mode of goodness, you know, then beyond that is devotional, because I came from a New Age background. So New Age is, you know, a superior, you know, highly elevated, you know, spiritual, almost transcendental, but, you know, like that. And so therefore, that's okay. Now we understand it's devotional service. So this is a very highly elevated thing. And so if we just get people absorbed in that and some yoga and some, you know, special dietary and eat some superfoods and, you know, chant a few, you know, Ganesh or Shiva or somebody mantras and that, because we wouldn't want them to chant Hare Krishna, because they'll go, oh, you're Hare Krishnas, and then run out of the room pulling out their hair like that, as if they know Sanskrit. And so then, you know, these things like that, when no, it's that it can't produce anything, because the reason they're there is for their health or for their people. They're there because of some mode of passion. And that they got themselves into that position because of the mode of ignorance. Goodness means this is your duty to perform this. Right? That's mode of goodness. And I don't see anybody teaching that, because it's, oh, but I feel I want it. That's mode of ignorance. So how is it suddenly this mode of, is now the mode of goodness? You know? And then he says, that has been explained before. Sardartha Darshani 10:47-24. These acts should be understood to be performed for satisfying Krishna, for it is said, right? These acts means all these charity, strict vows, austerity, fire sacrifice like this should be understood to be performed for satisfying Krishna, right? Not that they on their own can produce anything. For it is said, then, quote, the great sage Narada said, when a living entity is born to engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Controller, his birth, all his fruitive activities, his lifespan, his mind, and his words are all factually perfect. Right? So then that's the thing, the lifespan, the mind, the words, the everything, his birth, that becomes successful. So if you become a devotee, whatever led up to getting you, it all becomes successful. So that means you become a pure devotee, then your parents are benefited because they took part in all this. You know, so in the Vedic culture, they have children because they want to help that living entity go back to Godhead, right? They have the desire to be involved in family life. So, and living entities that, you know, are born, then they're born to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. So they are willing to take part in that Krishna's process, that this child born will now be engaged in Krishna service until they, you know, that means they'll always be engaged, but they're engaged up to the point the parents are dynamically involved until they come to the point of their own dedication to it. So that's what it says. The parent gets the benefit of having given birth to a Vaishnava when that child turns 16 and they in their own determination say, I want to be a devotee and they practice because of their own determination. And if at 16 they haven't done that, then they don't get the benefit that I produced the devotee. So they keep trying, you know, if they're still dependent upon them, they still try, you know, they always try to do that. So if at some point that child does, at that point, then the parent gets the benefit. So if they turn 30 and then they go, they already have their own children, now they go, oh, that's what my parent were talking about. And so now they want to give that to their children. Now they've dedicated. So at 30, you get the benefit. You know, and just depending on what it is, maybe they'll be more successful. They might have to wait to 30. Depends on if they're second generation or only one and a half. Yeah. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada, how are we doing? 44. Okay. It is particularly mentioned herein that birth is successful if an interest in Krishna consciousness is taken. Activity is successful if it results in serving the Lord. Philosophical speculation or mental speculation successful when engaged in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? So anuman means mental speculation or philosophical speculation, right? So the point is when that comes to the conclusion of Krishna consciousness is successful. So we see is that once the mental speculator, at least the Vedic, they're starting with scripture. So they hear Shabda. Then they analyze like this, and then they come up with the pratyaksha that they see. But it doesn't become perfect unless they're seeing all that process through devotion. So the devotees, they hear from the scriptures, especially those connected to Krishna, Bhagavatam, and that. So that's why it mentions before. You know, the Acharya mentioned Gopal Tapani Upanishad or Bhagavatam, Gita, you know, as it is. You know, not as we'd like it to be, you know, all these kind of things. As I feel it should be. Bhagavad Gita as I see it. Okay, yeah, still like that. So these kind of things aren't important because they're not in, it's not based on devotion. It won't, applying it won't give you devotion. But when you apply what's said in the scriptures in devotion and trying to understand how it relates to devotion and relates to my position. By analyzation, I bring it to the point of pratyaksha. I can see, yes, this is how it applies in my life devotionally. Like that. Then it's perfect. Like that. So when we say mental speculation, that means mental speculation that's not based on the devotional scriptures coming in parampara with the purpose of understanding and applying devotion. That's what we mean. Just like we say, you know, You know, if eating isn't connected to the Lord, it's useless. So we mean eating that hasn't been connected. So the living entity is doing these things, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But if you're eating for Krishna, sleeping for Krishna, mating for Krishna, defending for Krishna, then they become perfect. Right? So it's not just, oh, I'm doing this for myself, and then, you know, I'm supposed to be for Krishna, because it only at that point becomes for Krishna if you give it. I say, I'm making money for Krishna. Did you give money to Krishna? If you did, then you can say yes. But if you just say I'm doing for Krishna because I'm a devotee, I'm doing, I keep the money and I do whatever I like, then you can say as well, maybe it's not exactly, you know, it's seriously mixed here, because, you know, you may identify with devotee, so it's not directly you gave it to Krishna, get the direct benefit, but, you know, you're using it and buying food for yourself, but you're not necessarily thinking that in context of Krishna. You're buying what you want to eat, and not thinking how to cook it nicely for Krishna, just how you want to eat it, and then you may be offering it. Okay, nice. So then at that time it's given, so then some benefit is given. But if not, then, you know, you have to see is that how directly it is. So what the acharyas are talking about is these direct activities, that because it's based on direct, therefore the secondary takes on, like iron and fire, takes on the results of direct. But if you don't see the indirect in context of the direct, then they're just indirect. And so if at some point you do give it to Krishna connected, that point becomes connected. But you don't get the benefit of that overall kind of that flavor, that mood. That. The senses are worth possessing when engaged in the service of the Lord, right? Otherwise, distract. What is it there? In the senses are a network of paths leading to death, right? So, you know, at least in theory, we say that every day or a few times a day, right? Actually, devotional service means engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, right? And the senses mean, the senses are doing the charity, being engaged with charity, strict vows, austerities, fire, sacrifice, job. You're using the senses. At the present moment, our senses are not purified. Therefore, our senses are engaged in the service of society, friendship, love, politics, sociology, and so on. Yeah. However, when the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, notice Prabhupada makes a distinction between the two. One attains bhakti, or devotional service. In the next verse, these matters will be more clearly explained. Right, so all these things are there. So you can say, oh, well, these are needed and this and that. And they say, okay, you know, as human beings, we need these. But the point is, human being needs these, but human being deals with them a particular way. So you can't say, as humans, we need this, but then not do it the way a human does. Like saying, humans need food and then go out and get a pile of grass. You know, that's just, you know, you just mowed the lawn. So then you collect all the grass up into a pile and start eating. You know, like that. That's not what it means. It means it has to be human food, human interaction, and that's defined by the Vedic literatures. And if you reject the Vedic literatures, then you can reject Varnasho, fine, but then admit you're not human. And so then you're going to be depending upon the direct activities, because the indirect is not human and it's not necessarily going to be of any advantage to you. So therefore, it's not as complete a system as one who follows Varnashram and then uses all the body, mind, and words through these different human activities as mediums, you know, for producing bhakti. You know, it's much superior. It's scientific. The other one's not scientific at all. It's just ideological and sentimental. So, yeah. You know, that's what we mean. It's you're dealing with religious activities, though not human, subhuman religious activities, but without philosophy. You can't connect them. So it will just be sentiment. And we see when sentiment is there, people, if you poke their sentiment, they can get very upset, even to the point of, religious fanaticism. So those who are railing about, you know, the political things and this and that in the society, they're religious fanatics. You know, they'll say, oh, I'm not, it's the pro-Vedics. No, you're at least they're human. They may be going a little strong on it and not connecting to philosophy, but at least it's human. What you're talking about is not human and won't work. You know? Yeah. When one great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Lord, he said that all his desires were fulfilled. He said, quote, today everything is auspicious. Today my birthplace and neighborhood are completely glorified. Today my senses, from my eyes down to my toes, are fortunate. Today my life is successful because I've been able to see the lotus feet that are worshipped by the goddess of fortune, end quote. Srimad Bhagavatam 431.9 purport. Right? So that's what makes things glorious. They're thinking, no, if we manage this, then it'll be glorious. Or if we have this money, it'll be glorious. Or if we have this particular social, political, economic, ideology, it'll be perfect. No, only when it's connected to the Lord will it be perfect. Those who perform pious acts, so this is next quote, those who perform pious acts for thousands of lives should develop bhakti to the Lord of all controllers, to Nardana, Brihad Naradiya Purana. Yeah, so it's they should, but if not, that's why it's thousands of lives. It's because you're doing bhakti, then it's there. So they're doing it. They're very pious people, but they should be doing it for Krishna. Like that. Hopefully in there, they're situated in the piety. How can piety go forward? By meeting a Vaishnava. So that's where the karma comes in. They're performing pious acts. So the Acharya, I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that how karma becomes connected to bhakti is that you come in contact with Vaishnavas, right? Because if you're going to all those acts that were given before, they listed, you know, that were listed here in Bhagavatam. Okay, charity. So you're going to be giving it to the Brahmins, right? And maybe one day you'll meet a Vaishnava among those Brahmins. Your strict vows and all that, your austerities, fires. If any of these bring you in contact with the Vaishnava, then your piety then will take on a new life. Now it will can produce devotional service if you take it seriously. If you don't, then it'll be, you know, they call it Agyata Sukriti, and then maybe next life, you know, because it says a thousand lifetimes, you know, thousands of lifetimes. So hopefully after some thousands, then, you know, it's a little Agyata Sukriti, and then, you know, whatever it takes more. And then one day, you know, yeah, bingo, you know, yeah. Then next quote, direct bhakti to Madhava arises by various sacrifices undertaken for thousands of births, regulated by fasting and vows, Agastya Samhita. So those who have performed pious activities, because now pious activities means they're willing to follow human life. And human life is meant for knowing the Supreme. So if they get situated and they start giving up so much attachment to their heavenly pleasures or to their scholarly, you know, positions or brahminical status or all the different things that you get distracted by, and they're just doing these things because this is how it's supposed to be done in that mode of goodness, then by Krishna's grace, they'll meet the Vaishnavas, right? And then it can move forward. But it's only when they meet the Vaishnavas. So it's not that it produces. It's just that, okay, now there's a potential. There's an interest. There's a possibility. Because what happens is that, as Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says, that the Lord sitting in the heart then will see when the living entity wants to know why it's like this, what happened, why am I suffering, why did this happen, I worked so hard, why am I not satisfied? So then Krishna will put you in contact with the Vaishnavas. Right? So the benefit of the piety is you understand that you're not getting any benefit from the piety. So it's not that the piety produces it, you know, just like it says, This says direct bhakti arises from this. Just the greatest results, devotional service unto Krishna may be attained by, but we know it's only if it's imbued with the chit potency or bhakti from the Vaishnavas, it'll do that. So in the same way as when you at that point then want to know why, then that becomes actual human life. And then Krishna puts you in contact with the Vaishnavas. You can take advantage that one lifetime, take it up, go back to Godhead. Or, you know, you can stretch it out over however many lifetimes you like. But the point is it's coming in contact, that direct contact with bhakti makes all these things perfect. It is also stated in an opposite way in the following. Quote, Varnashram Dharma of the human being, which does not produce attraction for topics of the Lord, is only a wasted effort. right? Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8, right? So those are yeah. So here, when you see it in the opposite, you understand is if it does not produce that. In other words, if you don't at some point gain an interest, it's a waste of time. But it's not that it produces it, but in a pious state, it says pious people surrender to the Lord. Impious don't. So that's what we're meaning. It's the piety is it, that's why piety is recommended. It's human. And from that, then you could want to know. So if you're, even though you're, I mean, as a devotee, you're doing devotional service, but there's also that mix of that there's an interest in all the activities of, you know, whatever it was, what Prabhupada mentioned here. Society, friendship, love, politics, sociology, and so on. You know, how you say? How you say stupidity in German? Or Dummkopf. So mein Dummkopf. You know, so like that, you get it. It doesn't get anywhere until there's that point where you click to the actual human life and want to know why. You're not just doing it, you know, even just in goodness, but you want to know why. Then now we can say, and then you come across the Vaishnavas, then you take that seriously, then it becomes perfect. Even if you meet the Vaishnavas, but you don't care, then it still hasn't. It's a bit, you know, some of Yatu Sukriti is there from that association, unless, of course, you offend them like that. So how are we doing? Time 58. Okay. So hereby the opposite you can see is it's not actually they're producing it. It's that if you come in contact and it does, then you can say now it becomes useful. You know, this is the talk about Lord is only a wasted effort. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. Right? He wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. He wants to see the free light and the spirit. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the personality of Godhead, right? Otherwise, you can't actually get to that platform. There is a dormant affection for God within everyone. Spiritual existence is manifested through the gross body and mind in the form of perverted affection for gross and subtle matter. Yeah. So here, so spiritual existence manifests through the gross body and mind in the form of perverted affection for gross and spiritual matter. So he's saying there's an inherent attraction or affection for the Lord in every living entity, but because it's been perverted, they project that into the Brahman aspect of the Lord, how it's manifested to everything, and then how applying that in what's mentioned, society, friendship, love, politics, all these things, by how Paramatma then controls the energies and the laws and how they function, and that we look there, but we don't know it's the Lord. We think it's the gross matter and all that, or the subtle matter, when it's actually, no, it's the Lord's qualities, his potency that we're attracted to. Though we're not attracted to him on the personal platform, but we're attracted on these lower levels. Like that. Okay. So time is up. So we'll end here and continue with this tomorrow. That's interesting. Oh, this is the next one. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.